Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. Terry Somerville here at Spirit FM. Glad you've joined us for the morning show. Been talking this week about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And for those of you joining me today, I want to just explain that a little bit. The word anointing is something we use talking about the Spirit of God coming on us, coming over us, coming through us, working His power and His life in us to do something great. And we want to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. The word anointing itself actually refers to the Old Testament idea of anointing with oil, or literally the word anointing means to rub on, rubbing on of oil. And when God would do something special with a man, or like, for example, when David or Saul became king, or someone was called to a special duty, the prophet in the Old Testament would go with oil and declare what God said over the person and anoint them with the oil, and the oil would come on them. So the first king of Israel was King Saul, and the prophet Samuel came and called him out, anointed with him with oil, and declared God's prophecy over him to be king. And it says in the Bible that he was changed into another man. The presence of the Spirit of God came on him and changed him. He was anointed by the power of God, the Spirit of God working in him after he was anointed with oil. And that power of the Spirit of God worked in him to, you know, conquer their enemies and to lead the country and so on. And that's what the anointing was about. Well, King Saul himself rebelled against God and lost his anointing, and King David replaced him. But same thing, King David had an anointing. The prophets also had an anointing. And in the New Testament, it's very clear that the scripture tells us he wants every Christian to have the Holy Spirit. This was a promise of the Father in the Old Testament. God promised that it wouldn't be just these few that he called out, but all shall know me, from the least unto the greatest. In fact, Jesus, speaking about John the Baptist, even though he was the greatest of the prophets, he said that even the least in the kingdom of God, meaning when we come to Christ and are in his kingdom, here and now, that even the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Can you believe that? That the presence of the Holy Spirit coming into your life is possible to make you greater than the prophet John the Baptist. Doesn't mean you are now, but it can make you live that way, but you have something greater in your life. You have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. So that is the start of what we're talking about here. When we talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of God at work. And we did look at that, how that comes on us, how it works through this, how we yield to it. Let his presence come when you're born again. You have to be born again to have. You can't have this unless you're born again, because that's where God cleanses you from sin that defiles you and separates you from God. You cannot have communion with God when there's sin in your life. It's not possible. You can't commune with him one-to-one. But when your sin is cleansed away and you from the bottom of your heart say, I will be yours, and you trust in what Christ did on the cross, then you're washed and your spirit comes alive, because the Holy Spirit comes in, and you can commune with the Father, and he's able to work through you his supernatural power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he changes your heart, he changes your mind, he changes your insides. It works from the inside out. Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water, welling up into everlasting life. Now, this word, it's not talking about heaven. He's talking about life, meaning the word is, Greek word is zoe, and that means fullness of life, real life. And everlasting means it'll keep on going and going and going. It doesn't mean it's sometime in the future, it's heaven. So when it says things like eternal life, everlasting life, he's talking about giving you real life, fullness of life, now and forever. So whenever you see that in the Bible, you remember that. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about the fullness of life, now and forever. So he wells up from inside. His Spirit was working in you to give you this fullness of life, now and forever. It flows like a river out of your innermost being. When you became a Christian, did your skin change? No. Did your body change? No. Did your hair change color? No. Did your mind change? No. You're trying to figure out what went on. Your mind's analyzing it all. You might have felt something. You might have thought something. There's this new piece in your life. You don't know where it came from. Did your emotions change? Well, you could have been excited, but your emotions still run the same way that they did before. Well, what changed? What changed is when you're born again, your spirit changed. The very innermost core of who you are came alive to God. And the Holy Spirit merged there and joined there. And from that place, the rivers of living water flow from the inside out, and we're to abide in this. That means keep on living in this. Keep on letting Him flow. Let His love flow out. Let His life flow out. Let His inspiration flow out. Let His heart flow out. Let His goodness and His love and His power and His mind, everything about Christ, flow in your life. Let it flow in your life. That's the way a Christian then becomes a new person. That's the way a Christian leads a holy life. You're not doing it by effort. Oh, now I've got a bunch of rules I got to follow. Oh, church, pastor, please tell me all the rules to be a Christian, and I'll do my very best. Yes, indeed. No, that's not how you're a Christian. You're a Christian by the life of Christ in you, coming out through you. It's a natural Christian life. It's natural in the sense that it's comes by your new nature, which is a supernatural nature in that sense. It's not a forced Christian life. It's not a rule-bound Christian life. It's not a bunch of doctrine Christian life. Is there truth? Absolutely. Is the Bible true? Absolutely. Is there righteousness? Absolutely. Is there the law of God in the Old Testament and the grace of God in the New Testament? Absolutely. Is there right and wrong? Absolutely. Are you trying to drag yourself along by your hair to figure out how to do all this? No way. What I'm saying is when you walk naturally with God by the Holy Spirit, you will naturally produce a life that is right and holy and good and loving and kind and has the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit on it. Wow. That's what it's like. Now listen, here's how the anointing works in, for example, Jesus. Jesus, it says here in Luke chapter 9, went with him. So he's being called by someone to go heal another person. And there was a woman in the crowd. He was surrounded by a great crowd. There was a woman in the crowd who had a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years, and she had spent everything she made on doctors and still was not cured. Ever felt that? Maybe there's some of you out there, you've done everything you can, and you're sick still. You never are getting well. Okay, well, this was what the woman was like. And she came up behind Jesus. She snuck up behind him, actually. And she thought to herself, if I can only touch his robe, his clothes, if I could just touch him, that I could be healed. And she touched him, and immediately the bleeding stopped, which means she was always having this issue of blood, probably something from her female parts or whatever. We're not told, but she was always having this issue of blood. And Jesus turned and said, "Who touched me?" Everyone said, "No, I didn't. Peter said, "Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you. What do you mean, who touched you?" And he says, "No, someone deliberately touched me because I could feel the healing power come out from me." And when the woman realized that Jesus knew she was healed, she began to tremble in fear and fell to her knees before him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she'd been healed. And Jesus said, "Daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you well." Wow, isn't that interesting? Well, now, what did Jesus do there? Well, we find out in his mind, in his action, he didn't do anything. He was walking along with his disciples and a great big crowd, shuffling and pushing and everything else. And he's heading over to a guy named Jairus' house to heal his little girl. He'd been asked to go there. And while they're shoving along comes this woman. By faith, she touches Jesus' garment and she's healed. And Jesus turns because he feels the anointing, the power of God's healing go out of him into her. That is that the presence of the Spirit of God in Christ flowed with power through him and out of him into the woman. That's anointing. He didn't even know what had happened. All he knew was, "Whoa, what was that? I felt the power go out of me." Now, for someone like me, I've ministered healing and miracles for years and years and years, seen many astonishing things, and many times I have literally felt this power go out of me. It's surprised me. Lots of times God is just healing people, And I might have been prayed for them. I might not. They might just get healed in a meeting. I'm speaking, and at the end of the meeting, they're coming up and telling, it's even jumped up sometimes and say they were healed. But in some cases, feeling this, I don't know how, this energy, this power, this life of God's Spirit go whoosh out. Like you feel it go out. The anointing. And the promise of the Bible was that greater works shall we do because Christ has gone to the Father. That you can experience exactly the same thing as we see here and what Jesus had happened. And I'm testimony to that. I can tell you stories about that. Not my doing. No way. No way. I'm just serving God. No way. I'm just his child. But his love, his power, his healing energy, his anointing, as I explained before, will flow through you and out into other people to bless them in Jesus' name, to heal them and set them free in Jesus' name. Or even as I'm talking right now, the anointing of God works to speak to you, to enable me to do things I don't normally do. Many times when I'm preaching and talking, afterwards I just go, wow. There's been many times when I've preached, hundreds of times, I'll listen to the recording afterwards, and I'll be caught up right in it, and I'm going, man, listen to that. It's hardly like I'm listening to myself. You know what I'm saying? And this is what God wants to do with you. He wants to use you in whatever area he has set you as a Christian person. He wants to work through you to bless family and friends and people around you and work people and acquaintances and businesses and homes and church and music and students and teachers and, you know, I mean, technology, research, science, medicine, arts, you name it. God wants to pour his love out through you and me to bless mankind in some way with very, very good things. The supernatural inspiration of the Holy Spirit and even divine power to do things you can't normally do. Does that mean we're all and religious around people when God is working? No way. Is Jesus religious? He's walking along, shuffling along in a crowd, getting pushed and jostled, and God works because the woman is seeking God. That's the way it often is. I'll tell you one story to close here. I was over preaching in Holland, and we had a meeting in a high school, and I don't know, 75 people in this classroom, maybe 50 people. And at the end of the meeting, I was laying on hands of people at the front, and everybody's watching, and I'm praying for healing for the people. And I had this person in front of me who was deaf. I don't know, deaf in both ears, one ear, what, I can't remember right now. And I had my fingers in the person's ear, and I was commanding, in the name of Jesus, ears open, or something like that. And then I would get them to test, and I would, you know, flick their fingers, turn around, talk to them, you know, turn them around, try to talk behind. Nothing was changing. Nothing's changing. And I did it a couple times. All of a sudden, there's this shriek from the back of the room, and everybody jumps, including me, and we look back, and here's this young woman dancing and jumping and hugging her friends, bouncing around, screaming, and they're carrying on and crying and laughing. And what happened? What happened? Come to find out, well, she was watching me praying for the deaf person at the front. She had faith to receive the healing for her own ears. She was deaf in one ear. And palm, you know, the ear pops open, and she's jumping and shrieking and carrying on. Such is the faith that connects with the anointing of God. There you go. Can happen to you even today. You can even do it as you're listening to me. It's by faith we receive from God, and by faith we give. So why don't you step into that anointing today as a person who lives, and I said it earlier on, the natural Christian life, where that life of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in you, you let just flow out like a river. You don't try to contrive it. You don't manipulate it. You don't try to be religious. You don't try to be legalistic. You don't put on airs. You don't do any of that stuff. You're just living for Jesus, but consciously dependent on his work and presence in your life. There you go. Okay, God bless you. We'll pick it up again tomorrow here on the morning show.